It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
You know, he's sitting here like a radio pro. Do you realize that, right?
He is a radio pro.
I know. He's just
Happy Sunday
morning. Just sitting there. Happy Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. I think the last time that we did one of these was Clinton was probably president. That's how long ago, man.
I'm sorry.
Good Lord.
Wow. Well,
no,
that,
there's a lot going on. So we're glad to be back. And in studio with us today, Glenn Garlish, our in-house all things international man of mystery and in-house sommelier.
Sommelier. Isn't that a crazy word?
Like sommelier. I don't know how to say it either.
I know, because we're Americans. We don't, and they give us these words, and that's why we don't like them.
Right. Because
they don't like roll off like. That's why wines,
sommelier.
Merlot, Cabernet, we can say them.
Right.
We don't want,
those are easy.
Like, you know, Dignac, Plavik, Mali, you know, from Croatia. Okay. Yeah. Give me something
See,
I know.
He's already elevating the show just with his presence. He's already.
Is he, though? Nobody else knows how to say any of that either.
No. And you know what? And honestly, we don't even know if that's real.
Right.
Could be completely made up. I've had wine from And like, you know, we're like, oh my God, that's a real place.
And
they
again,
actually
dog
like that?
That's what sommeliers are. They love mystery. They love to be the wizard, like, oh, let's make it really cloak, you know, like hard to figure out.
So he's
all
a man
these
of
words.
Mystery.
Yeah, here's the thing. The angle that we're going to take in this place, and the reason this is a partnership that's worked for quite some time, other than the fact that we both love the sound of the volume of our own voices. He and I share that in common. And also a good story and storytelling.
Yeah.
Other than that is our ability to make and demystify and make luxury approachable.
Right.
You know, that's really at the Design Coach, especially as we embark on the opening of the vault and everything we're going to be doing with Wolf Sub-Zero and this amazing team, is the ability for us to really make stuff that, you know, can sometimes be intimidating, art, design, and in this case, we're going to talk wine today, you know, a little bit intimidating, right? A little bit like, if you don't know a lot, you don't feel comfortable talking about it. And so, Glenn, what you've always been great at is demystifying that process. One of the ways that you do that is through the various places that you've traveled.
Right.
I mean, you've been a lot. How many countries have you been to?
I guess it's 35.
Have you stopped counting?
Yeah, I stopped counting because it doesn't really matter. You know, it's just...
I mean, once you go to above 30.
I'm not a bucket list guy,
right? Like,
just to say I did it.
Okay, but you can't exactly be an amazing sommelier if you've been hanging out in Rhinelander for 30 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? No offense to Rhinelander, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know how many...
There's so many vineyards there, though.
Yeah, there's so many vineyards up in Rhinelander.
And I think that
there's a guy. Look, trust me, we're gonna get mail on that.
I know.
There's gonna be the one guy with a vineyard,
email
like right up against the UP,
right?
Who's up there going, "Oh my gosh,
the greatest wine! We're the greatest wine country there is." Then here's the unique situation with wine. I'm gonna tell you right now is, and how did I get into it? Being a Chicago suburban kid, right?
Share the story.
I'm not a young chicken. I'm 62. So if you go back to the 70s and 80s, for a kid to get into like wine was unique in Chicago. I mean, we knew beer and spirits and things like that.
Right.
And now, if you lived in California, that wouldn't be the case because you grew up in wine country. If you lived in France, if you lived in Portugal, it's just part of growing up. Food goes with wine, and that's what you know.
In France, don't they just give it to them in baby bottles?
Sure.
Like,
We just give them baby bottles full of Coca-Cola.
Yeah, whatever.
Right.
Then we have juvenile diabetes at age two. Anyway.
And so to understand wine from all these different regions, as opposed to, like, I could be a sommelier from France. What are you going to know best? It's going to be the wines from France.
Of course.
So here's what happened to me is I spent my summers in the Hamptons in New York. And I got introduced to the fine food at this yacht club in the Hamptons. And the maitre d' would say, "Hey, Glenn, come on over here. We're going to have seared tuna with this wine from Italy, from France." So I started having international wines, having no experience.
How old were you at this time?
I was like 22.
Okay, that's young.
Yeah. And here's an interesting thing. Again, being in the Midwest, we don't understand this, is that on the East Coast in New York, you're closer to France than you are to California.
Mm-hmm.
So people in New York were drinking, and you went into any wine shop, they were bringing you right to the wines of France, of Italy, of Europe. California, they're like, that's, what do they know out there? So I got exposed to these, you know, European wines. Then I lived in the West Coast in California. And I did go, I went to UCLA. I took classes in wine appreciation, wine education. So then I started getting that basic knowledge on California wines. But here's what I loved is that I had the opportunity to work at the Four Seasons in LA, in Beverly Hills, actually.
Wow.
And so I got to meet, while I was working there, Robert Mondavi.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is the iconic legend of Napa Valley. And at that time, he was probably in his early 80s, and he did live to be 94, 95 years old. Mm-hmm. So just to have that experience to meet somebody firsthand, like a legendary icon like that, was right. just amazing.
Right.
And I went to the Mondavi Winery. I met Mrs. Mondavi, who was an amazing individual. I saw this woman. You love this story. It's pouring down rain. I see this woman in a leopard skin print with boots up to her knees, and she's about in her late 70s or early 80s. I'm like, only in California would you see this. And I'm doing a VIP wine tasting in this amazing room at the Mondavi Winery. And all of a sudden I see that lady, they bring her in to this wine tasting I'm doing, and the lady that's doing my tasting says, oh, Mrs. Mondavi. So I'm like, oh, that was Mrs. Mondavi. And she came over. I had a young baby at the time, and she introduced herself. And we had the Mondavi Reserve wines. Mm. And so all these type of experiences is what's led me to where I'm at today. And if you really think about design, what you do, Philip and Nancy, with radio, it's like we put a personal touch on what we do. You're not doing radio station to the masses. Philip, you're not designing to the masses. So that's what we do. We have we provide a story, an intimate personal touch. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's great. Honestly, I could not have said that any better. You would have thought that was a prepared speech. That was fantastic. That's how he talks all the time. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, about almost any topic.
About everything.
I'm curious.
How about an oil change? I want to hear.
Yeah, right.
About
exactly.
Oh, I do my own oil.
Don't get me started on oil changes. Does that even exist anymore?
Yeah.
Let's go back a little bit to your experience in Chicago. Yeah,
sure.
Because you're right, there is in Chicago an approachability or an honesty and a lack of sometimes a varnish, right? Mm-hmm. That I think is both refreshing and sometimes for certain individuals from certain parts of the country, a little it hits different, right?
Yeah.
It hits different. But that candor and the way that you approach the honesty about wine and your experience with it makes it very inviting. Because it's not intimidating, and it's not snobby, and it's designed to, I think, embody a philosophy on wine that is drink what you love. And I want you to dive into that. Like when you're just at home, like how do you parse out what you're going to drink, and how would you give people advice as to how would they go about discovering what they like?
Right. Well, it's, again, what are we influenced by? Advertising, marketing, packaging, right? We know what we know because of what we see around us. Social media is, you know.
We're products of our environment.
Right.
Right.
And there's a couple of wines. I won't say their names because I guess you just can't say bad things about anything anymore. So I won't say those, but I hate these wines. And they're in almost everybody's house. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the second I walk in and I see it, and there's one in particular begins with the letter M, and I see it, I'm like, God, get it out of here.
It's not even wine.
Okay.
It's grape juice.
It is.
Right.
And it's kind of, but that's what we know. And if everybody else likes it and they say great things, and that's what we should be drinking, right? So I'll tell you, here's what I like to do, and this is how I started, was blind tasting.
Oh, wow.
So because we're influenced by, again, packaging, marketing, advertising, take all that away. Put the bottle in a brown bag. Take a bottle that somebody, you know, that you know that says, oh, you've got to try this. Let's take Camus, for instance. It's $100 a bottle, roughly $70 a bottle. And put it in a brown bag and then take another one that's maybe $20 and then maybe take another one that's from France that has a great reputation and put that in a brown bag. Now you've stripped away, you don't even understand what you've stripped away.
Right.
All your senses, your sight, the feel, watching it come out of the bottle. So you have to really get in touch with the smell and examine the wine and taste it and really almost like closing your eyes, examine it, which we don't do that when we're drinking.
No.
Yeah, wine on a normal
bottle. It's at the table.
Because your brain has told you already that you're going to like it because you've seen the label and everyone else has had it. And so you've already decided I like it.
I can't tell you how many women I know that buy their wine because they like the label. It's
sure.
pretty or it's quaint or it's whatever. Yeah. Without regard for what it might taste like.
Oh, I think there's a lot there across the board.
Oh, yeah.
And the price
just
point.
Just because it looks pretty.
Yeah.
And then better if it's cheap.
Oh, wait,
right.
Sure.
So that's what it is, right?
Like it's better if
Fox.
It's cute
no, I'm just
and
kidding.
Cheap, right?
Well, if
just watch Glenn fall apart.
Because you know it's because you know it's going to be the one thing that you're counting on that drink to do is be effective.
Right.
So, right? But in this instance, what we're trying to dig deeper on is the chemistry of wine and the taste. And I think what you said about the blind taste, like I never even thought about doing that. About like just trying to do a taste test. You know what's interesting is I do it with whiskey. Right.
Yeah, right.
I do the exact same thing with spirits. I haven't really ever done that experimentation with wine. Hmm. And that's how you started doing that?
Well, yeah.
Or and one of the ways.
One of the ways. But you know where it actually started? I lived in Seattle. And Washington State has a great reputation for wines. Washington and Oregon.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got to get my stickers on the globe.
Yes.
On,
okay.
That's
so we've covered Hamptons.
Yeah,
okay.
Like,
let's go to Seattle.
The third city. Okay.
We're in Seattle. Okay. I'm working in a restaurant. Okay. There's a very incredible, reputable winery called Leonetti. Leonetti makes extremely high-end wines.
Where's that?
That's in Walla Walla in Washington.
Okay.
Okay. On a wine list in Seattle, there was a bottle. It was about 150, 170 a bottle. And every server knew, oh, Leonetti. Leonetti's amazing. So somebody had the bottle, and they left a little bit in it. So I tasted it.
Who would do that, first
yeah,
of all?
Yeah, I know. Who would do that? How do you have a hard time drinking a bottle of wine when there's four people? I could never understand, like, oh, no, I'm fine, and there's still wine left.
No, that's weird.
Okay, so we have a little bit left.
Such waste.
And there's a server I worked with. His name was Rock. Okay, he's a character.
Of course it was.
And
Rock.
He saw the bottle. Now, the wine was gone, but this is what I did. I took the cheapest wine we had, and I poured some into the Leonetti bottle. And I said, hey, Rock, look what I've got. They left some. He goes, that's Leonetti? Oh, my God, let me try. And I poured it in the glass. And he tastes, he's like, oh, man. Oh, man, this is amazing.
Theater of the mind.
Why?
Yeah.
And this just proves the point.
Mm-hmm.
It's his brain.
Take away
had
the influences,
told,
yeah.
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 So that's just like, if you really think about doing things like that, I have actually 12 generic red wine bottles that have no label on them.
Mm-hmm.
They're colored so you can't see through. And I could put all my different wines. I put a label on it. Maybe just put A1, B3. These, what do those letters mean to you? Nothing.
Nothing.
But you got to
identify mystery them. Wines.
Yeah. And I pour them and I make people taste them and examine them. And they'll say, well, what do you think? Rate it 1 to 10. You know, do you like it? So that's how I think is a great way for people to just get introduced.
I love this idea of experimentation because I feel like that's exactly what we do at The Design Coach on a multitude of levels, which is why this works. When we come back from the break, here's what I want to dive into. I want to dive into some of your go-tos. And I want to dive into also, I do want you to do a critique of what you think is overrated and what you think is wildly underrated from your perspective. Okay. Stay with us. We're sharing wine insights with our sommelier, Glenn Garlish, right here on Lake 96.1 with The Design Coach. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sisano. Happy Sunday morning, everybody. It's good to be back, Nancy. And it's good to be back with this guy. Glenn, I got to be honest. You know, we're talking all things wine from your really unique perspective that involves this blend of like, I don't even know how to describe it because it's like every man meets no one. Okay. It's like you have this really weird, you know, like combination of like, you know, like you've been to over 35 countries. You've sampled wines from all over the world. You've been into wines at a very, very young age. Right. But you just know what you love. And you're just trying to share that passion And I think what I love about it is that it's not it's raw, Nancy. Like it's just very authentic.
Because I think you've had the opportunity to you have experienced wines in a way that the rest of us don't. You have not gone to the liquor store or, you know, the local, you know, expanded grocery store. Because, I mean, let's face it, I will say this. Steinbrink's down the street, for instance, they have an expansive, and Bruno's, they really do have a lot to choose from. However, not in the way that you have experienced things. You've experienced it at its home. We experience it at a restaurant where somebody else maybe suggests something, or, you know, again, looking at the labels and saying, okay, well, this looks interesting, and maybe this is. And so regional, we don't experience it that way.
And the regional understanding is something that I want to get. I kind of want to dig into that a little bit. But like before, I teased before the break, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was like, I really do want to know, like, what are your go-tos? And listen, this is not a censored show.
Okay.
So like, you don't have to not, if you think that there's a wine out there that's overrated, I want to know. So I also want to know the ones that you think are wildly underrated.
Because let me just tell you what will happen. Yep. If you say, well, you know, I'm not sure about this one, and you probably all know who it is. We will get emails wanting to know what that is. So you might as well just tell them. We're going to tell them.
Yeah.
So you might as well just
This is just your opinion.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a,
it's not Fox News.
I am a sommelier, but I hate sommeliers. I'll tell you that right now. See, I don't believe...
Because I'm a designer that's not really that fond of designers.
Exactly.
So
yes.
We've got that
Nancy,
going for
For the record, I love radio. So
you love radio, but do you love like mass, big, you know, crazy DJ show? Those things drive me crazy.
You and I both think the same way. We think that so much of life is overcomplicated.
Right. It's just homogenized,
the world. Okay, but listen, it's the architecture of the expert. Right now, everybody's an expert, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is if nothing has been proven more times, it's that the experts know nothing. You know, what we realize is that the architecture of the experts, it's now proven that the basics work, and that your just pure passion for something is enough.
They just think that they're experts because of the device in their hand that they can talk to and think that they accurate information, when the fact is that the only people that have accurate information are the ones who experience what's going
on.
Experience
matters, right? Walking the ground of these places, of the museums, and handling the artwork.
But
knowing the customer,
but it's also
it's
also about what we talk about, the design coach, with empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're talking about is the empowerment as it relates to wine.
Right.
Find out what you love. To start this conversation, what do you love?
So I come back to my Washington State wines.
Okay.
And we didn't throw this in there. I'm a little frugal, right? I want value.
Sure.
I'm not cheap.
Okay.
I just want good value.
Talk that through.
Again, I don't want to pay just for Napa Valley to be on the label. I'm already, mark me up, 40%.
Let's go region, then we'll go wine. Region. So what do you like about the region?
Washington State has the real, let's get a sommelier term, alluvial soils, like volcanic. And most people think of Seattle and Washington State as like, oh, it's raining, constantly raining. It is on the west side, but on the east side of the mountains, it's very dry and arid. That's where the vineyards are. You've heard of Walla Walla onions, right?
Uh-huh.
So it used to be onion. Now it's full of vineyards. So I went out there, 98, I believe, and there's a winery, Woodward Canyon. You've probably seen it, one of your clients' cellars. I like to put that in, and cellars of people I know, because super quality family winery. And
at a decent price point?
Very decent.
And what would that be?
You could get $40 for a high quality wine, up to, you know, $70 or $80 for even a more limited release type of wine. And the restaurant I worked at in Chicago carried it. So when I was going to Seattle, I called this winery to see if I could go and visit, right? And usually you got to do this months in advance. So I called, and the guy answered, you know, Woodward Canyon. And I introduced myself, and he says, I'm Rick. I own the place. Just come on back. We're out dipping bottles in wax. So I went out there, and there they are. They took their highest end wines, and they actually put the end of the bottle with the cork in wax.
Uh-huh.
And I had a great experience meeting the winery owner, take me out into the vineyards. That's lasted forever.
Wow.
You know, right? Let me just say this. I feel the same way about music.
Yeah.
There are a lot of songs that I really don't like, or maybe a performer that I don't think that I like. And then I see them live.
Yeah.
And it makes every difference in the mm-hmm. world that when they put their personal touch in it, when right. they go a little bit off the normal radio edit song that we get on a yes. regular basis, there are a lot of times when I'm just like, I just don't think, whatever. But then I see that person personally, and I turn around, I love the song, and I play it so much, I get sick of it. So that is a big deal, knowing
it's
the
a
history.
Huge deal.
Yeah. And
it's
the personality.
Same thing. It's the same thing on design. Like, I mean, we just had an experience this week where we put together a presentation, and it was our first one on the big behemoth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that big 26-foot counter?
Oh, yeah.
We did our first immersive experience on the counter.
Ooh.
And I was trying to envision how it would play out, right? Like, in other words, you've got all these trays of design materials and drawings. And then we basically took this camp theme. Okay, because
mm-hmm.
this particular project is a 1930s Boy Scout camp being turned into family compound. And we adorned it with all of the things that you would find maybe on a campground and in a family compound as it relates to this Boy Scout camp. And we were able to immerse the client not only into the design, but the experience. They walked away with a very similar experience that you had at the winery,
yeah.
which is like, oh, wow, like this is like we got granular.
Right.
I think that's what you're talking
right.
about. Like when you
exactly.
see someone live, you're able to get granular. You're not just listening to the music. You're watching how they play.
Right.
You're watching the in between the sets and the songs on how they interact with the audience. When you're
right.
when you're doing the same thing, you're touring the
right.
grounds of a vineyard, like, and you're just in the misty air or the dry air with that sun. Like there is no substitute for the experience. And I think we've stripped that away. I think what we've done
right.
on our phones and all of the devices that we are on is that we think we're getting the experience. We're actually really not.
Mm-hmm.
We're just
you might
not.
Be getting the information,
yes.
but you're not getting the experience.
Which leads
you're not
to
interfacing
exactly.
with it.
Exactly.
Right?
Which leads
right.
to the true appreciation.
Absolutely.
Right. And let's just get back to wine. How do you appreciate wine?
Yeah.
Right? It's all these senses.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sight, the smell, the feel of the bottle, the sound of it coming out, right? And that's what you're talking about. You don't know these things until you actually walk with the people in the vineyards or at your campground. You're getting a personal interface mm-hmm. with
that. So the ambassador to this experience is clearly you, which I love. When you're at home with mm-hmm. with the wines that you have, take us to a different region that you have an appreciation for.
Well, okay, I will. And my favorite is Croatia. Okay, kind of
really?
Under the radar a little bit.
Okay.
I really love, it's in Napa Valley, Grgic.
Okay.
Okay, so it's really hard to, Grgic, Grgic. Okay. And Mike Grgic, or Mihenko was his name. He came to this country like a lot of the immigrants, like a Robert Mondavi. So they were the early pioneers in Napa Valley. And he took his experience in Croatia winemaking and did this in Napa Valley. So I went to Croatia on a trip and I said, I want to see where this guy came from. And there still is his family estate vineyards. And I was able to purchase some of the wines
wow.
from his home country. And that's what it is. It's
right.
all like... And you know, when you're tasting these wines, you know that there's a lot that's gone into this, right? More
right.
than just like, as we say, this is what they say in wine is it like Coca-Cola? We all know Coca-Cola, what it tastes like. It's a beautiful
right.
can. And we just want to know what we know.
Right.
So like, oh, I've got a new creation, a new soda. Well, I don't know it. You're going to compare it to Coca-Cola.
Can you contrast
right?
the two regions and like from your own words, the contrast the two different regions and why you like them and what makes them different?
Well, I think that, you know, it's, again, it's going to be the environment that they're grown in, right?
Right.
And like what you're paying for it. I'm not going to pay $150 for a wine that I could get one
yeah.
that's 30.
Is there an attribute to the Croatian vineyard or the way that they do it versus the Washington that like is discernible to you?
Yes, you're going to have different environmental factors.
Sure.
You know, grapes grow better in certain regions of the world,
mm-hmm.
right? So like Washington State actually, you know, does
is
grow.
Is one silkier? Is one like... Like from a taste profile perspective,
I'm or does
get,
it depend
to get a
on
sense
the kind
your
of
palate.
Wine? No,
I'm sure because I know when I drink, like I there are certain types of wine I just can't drink.
Right.
Like I like a really deep, full-bodied wine. Mm-hmm. I just know that. Like I like it to be, and I'm not in it to discern the notes, and I'm not writing down whether or not I smell caramel and vanilla and notes of cherry.
Oak,
like
right?
I'm not doing that when I'm drinking wine, but I know a thicker taste profile full-bodied wine, and that's about like the extent of it. When a wine feels thin, I don't like
it. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Almost,
so like thin wines I don't do well with. In fact, like whites I don't.
Let's
really
think
do well
about
with.
This. Like what is wine really for, right? It's to pair with food.
Yeah.
It really is. It's like a food. And people in other parts of the world, that's how they enjoy wine. They have it with a dinner. In Seattle, you'll have a white wine with the oysters. Mm-hmm. In Oregon, you'll have salmon and Pinot Noir. They just go together.
What goes with chocolate?
Chocolate? Oh, okay. The Croatian. This. When I mentioned Dignac, I'm not kidding. It actually has some chocolate to it. California, I'd say a red Zinfandel.
Okay.
Oh, that
just
would go, that would go great with it.
Yeah.
So
checking.
Those real deep, dark blackberry.
Sure.
Courant
that makes
type
sense.
Of notes.
Yeah.
But it
sense.
Really is meant to be, you know, enjoyed with food and is, I guess, in Midwest, Chicago, people just drink it to drink it.
Right.
It's just like, oh, let's just have some red wine.
You're on an island.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not getting picked up for months, could be 6 months. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have a case, one case, only one case, one wine. What is it? One
ways. Let him think about it over the break.
Okay. When we come back from the break, we're going to come back with Glenn's I'm Stranded on a Desert Island Ultimate
That's a
Wine.
Fun.
Okay. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. We have Glenn Garlish. All things wine, all things international man of history.
I'm on pins and needles.
It's amazing.
Yes.
So
the suspense is
so
killing
before
me.
We left for the breaks, as we're talking wine from just a very approachable level, we're talking about some regional wines that are Glenn's favorites. And I asked the question before break, you're on a desert island. You have no idea when you're going to be picked up. Could be more than 6 months. And you have one case of wine that you wished would wash up on shore that you can enjoy. And it's only one. Don't give me two. Give me one wine. What is
you
it?
You really make it difficult.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm going to choose a wine that's just going to help me remember home. In a way that's, you know, I could go to France and take a first growth wine, but it's like, I want something that's going to remind me of my home, America. Mm-hmm. So I would actually go with Opus One.
Really?
Which was a joint venture between the gentleman I mentioned earlier, Robert Mondavi, and Baron Rothschild. They joined together. They got together in probably early 80s and said, we're the two big guys. Let's make a wine together. And I had the opportunity to go to that winery, and it is truly amazing. It was a VIP tour.
Okay.
And they do everything first class. And when you actually see how they taste wine and test it, I could not believe it. It's like watching you, Nancy, if you just tasted wines for the next hour, actually put the wine in your mouth, swirling it around, writing vociferously notes about that wine, and then spitting it out. And then going to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they analyze the wine at the winery.
Hmm.
And I had it on video. I thought it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. I watched her for like 25 minutes over and over, tasting, analyzing, writing, spitting it out, going to the next one. They take so much care. All the wine, it comes through the vats, through gravity. Nothing is pumped.
Okay.
Nothing is aggressively moved. And then we got to taste the wine in the cellar with all the barrels lined up in these beautiful glasses. And I'll never forget, this was 27 years ago when I first experienced the Opus One. And so it's a special wine.
So that's your deserted island
wine. Yeah, because I would enjoy every taste and really the bottle is beautiful. There's everything about it is an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I would drag that on as long as I could till I'm picked up by rescue.
Now, price-wise, price point, where is that one?
It's probably 150 or more, about 200, 250 now.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, Oh, we have a client actually that has that bottle mm-hmm. that I pointed out to Philip once. It was a 2006, and it was sitting in her master bedroom, just in a little wine holder.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that wine has been exposed to UV light, different temperatures. It's probably not, and it's probably worth about $1,000. And it's just degrading.
Oh.
And that's another thing that I think, you know, what I love doing is going in people's homes and just helping them, like, evaluating what you have.
Right.
And making sure it's maintained and how to enjoy it. Like, when's, because we're like, should I have it now? Or should I wait a couple years? It becomes kind of a mystery.
Well, let's talk about that. Like, because this is one of those things. Let's say you've done the experimentation.
Yeah.
Nancy. Over there.
Can you imagine? He's going to walk into my house and say, okay, the barefoot wine has got to go. This is not wine.
Is that a box? Is that a box?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I'm just kidding. I don't have that. I feel the same way, though. If I'm going to drink wine, which mm-hmm. I am not a wine drinker, I'm going to admit, I'm not a wine drinker.
Yeah.
But I'm also not a drinker anyway. I just don't have time. So, but if I'm going to,
yes.
I definitely want it to be worth my while.
Right. I agree, especially celebratory.
Right.
Right.
And I mean, I don't think that I have to have a super expensive wine to make it. And I think you've just proven that by everything you've said in these segments so far, yep. is that it doesn't matter how much it costs. It matters how much you love it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, probably I would have to guess the mid-range ones.
And you'll benefit.
I'm gonna.
Here's my tip of the day.
Yeah.
Just those mid-range. Let's just say it's $30, $28 to $40-ish. If you just put it in a temperature-controlled environment for 3 to 5 years, it'll appreciate and you'll enjoy it even more.
Wow!
It gives it time to just open up. Like California wines are.
The problem is that's
very
not. See, but that's not what
forward.
Most people
no,
do.
They
go
don't.
Shopping and they drink it that night.
Right.
Or restaurants. A lot of restaurants, it just comes in a box. They put it on the wine list.
What can they do?
And I always said, why don't we like store those for 4 years?
Right.
Temperature controlled environment. And then every year do the same thing with the new vintage. And then you can release them.
Right.
You know, at their mature time.
That makes
when you'll
perfect
enjoy
sense.
It. Yes. So that's something that we're talking about at the Design Coach.
And
about
especially
how
now,
to.
Especially now, there are all sorts of apps that you can find out whether
right.
or not the vineyard, the wine that you have. At home,
right,
is drinkable, or
right.
what the best time to drink it?
Right, we're working on that in our cellars with the clients. To
and
be
you
able
do that. You do that in your own home, though.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I store them, and well, I did till 9/11. Nancy, we were talking about 9/11 earlier, and I had a nice collection of wine in my house. And right after that, I just started popping bottles. Like, what am I going to do?
Right.
Go down with this? What am I doing? I just started popping them. It was just bam, bam, bam.
Right.
And I really like, I wish I wouldn't have done that, but I really did a significant hit on my wine inventory at that time.
Well,
so.
Everybody did different things. I mean,
yeah.
But it also, it doesn't matter because any experience makes you have the next experience, right?
Right.
Because so COVID for me made me discover mixology.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Had I not had all that time on my hands and was like, okay, well. You know.
All there is
and
to do is drink.
No, but it was also, the exercise was to try to get my taste back.
Ah, yeah. Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was interesting
right.
on my palate before and after,
mm-hmm.
right? Like what I appreciated and what I didn't. I mean, listen, you can't divorce the rhythm of life from this experimentation and
mm-hmm.
how it impacts you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, you know, when you talk about traveling, you talk about all the places that you've been, you know, it's great that you can just sort of pull the recall.
Right.
On that and then be able to share that. I mean, that really is these.
And you know why that, again, it comes back to a science, just like wine is a science. It's your endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
The dopamine is so intense that it makes the memory, that memory in your brain so like vivid.
I think that.
And that's how you're able to you know how you go, people go on vacations like, oh yeah, I think we went to Cancun. And they've gone seven
right.
times and they don't even remember what hotel they were at.
Right.
But when you go on a trip that you're like really involved in traveling and meeting people and it's really different, you have vivid memories.
I will tell you, I do like that about the tours that you're describing because, you know, my son Luke now is out there in Santa Clara. So he's right there.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, he's right there. And he says it is such a luxury to be 45 minutes
yes.
to an hour away from a vineyard because that that Northern California, you know, air is just, I mean, it's, if you haven't ever experienced it,
right.
Just go, because you can drive down to the bay where you can barely see through the air.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Because
you got this maritime layer.
Right.
Right. That is just there. And then you can go up into the mountains and it's arid and dry and amazing. Right. Like, it's really, if you want to experience all climates,
right.
It's really 100%. There. And if you haven't ever done that, please do. But I, again, Glenn, to your point about getting out and experiencing it, you know, have you, I have not, I mean, I've been to France.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been any vineyards in France. Have, you know, is there any, as we jump the pond, right, and we jump to Europe, is there any European wines that, like, come to mind for you?
Well, Burgundy, the Burgundy region, and we had a class on wines, which I was trying to explain to our design coach team, was Burgundy is Pinot Noir. So back in the day, we used to say, oh, give me a glass of Burgundy. No one even knew what they were saying.
Oh.
And it's Pinot Noir.
Okay.
To be a Burgundy in France, it's the Pinot Noir grape. All right. Cabernet will come from Bordeaux region. So each region has been decided what is the best environment for that grape variety. Come to America. How are we as America? We like to do whatever we want to do. Don't tell us where to grow what. We'll figure, if I want to grow this grape in this region, that's what I'm going
to
do.
I'm going to switch from corn this year to grapes next year. Sorry, my wine tastes corny.
So, yes, in France.
Right.
And now, so therefore, then, it's safe to say the profiles of the American wines are like the Wild Wild West, to a certain extent. They're kind of all over the map.
Right.
Is that fair?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Whereas there's a much more restricted, traditional approach to wine, obviously, you know, in Europe.
In Europe and in a lot of parts of the world, right? It's kind of written in law. You have to grow this grape in this region.
All right. Tell me about these Chilean wines. What's going on here? I hear that a lot.
America, you know why?
Seems to be the forgotten continent.
You know,
I'm not kidding you. Like, if you had to name continents, like, you get to South America, it's like down on the list.
Yeah.
Back in the day,
it's not top of mind.
Right.
Okay. I'm just giving you again.
Like, what's with
these? As a restaurant person, when somebody said, do you have Chilean wine? You know why? Because they were cheap.
Oh. Okay.
They wanted a cheaper wine. Like, oh.
But they didn't want it to sound cheap.
No, they didn't want it to sound like, oh, they wanted it because it sounded exotic.
Uh huh. Chilean wine.
No, oh, do you have any Chilean wines? Because I can A, say it, B, it's cheap, C, it's exotic.
So American.
Right?
No.
Sounds like
and,
us.
There are some really, like a Seattle, Washington State, there's some really high altitude and alluvial soils that, and let's get back to it, because on the next segment, I just like you gave
I'm just
me my
walk
one case.
Alluvial for like the next week and a half.
You gave me my one case if I was on an island. So
yes.
Next segment, I want to be able to talk about pairing, having a wine with a food item that you can get here in locally in Wisconsin, Lake Geneva area.
Yeah.
And that just elevates your whole food wine experience.
So really, when it comes to the growing wines around the world, you know, you've been to India.
Yes.
Several times.
And I went to a vineyard there.
I know. So it's amazing. I didn't even know it existed until I was there.
I'm curious,
when you taste these wines regionally, If I were to line them up, let's just say I were to line up five wines.
Blind taste test. Yeah,
blind taste test in your bag, right?
Right.
Preferably in your home, not outside on a curb. But like, if you're in a paper bag, you have these wines. Could you tell the region? Could you say this?
That's really honing your skills, right?
Can you, could you do that?
Well, there is, it's called
New World and
Old World. Yes, you're looking for acid levels. California has, you know, strong sunshine. It makes them really fruit forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Europe is more moderate climate. It's a more reserved wine, not as fruit forward. So, yes, you look for those kind of factors. And that's kind of a sommelier game when you're trying to identify, like, what area it's coming from.
I'm going to guess that if we did that with him and you put 10 wines in front of him, he'd get 8 or 9 right.
He might.
Or I might get 0.
No.
Just say, I might just get to number 3 and say, I love this wine. I don't even care about the
I don't even want anymore. Right.
No.
So.
Yeah. I love my, you know, Portugal's another area. It's just like,
and that's
a hot tourist spot.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, when you're going to Portugal, go to the Douro Valley. And I just had some young kids that came back from there, and they went there, and they thoroughly enjoyed that experience.
I will say, Luke did the same thing when he went to Italy. He came back completely different, completely different attitude about wine.
Right.
And about drinking for quality, which I think is another amazing lesson. So listen, when we come back from the break, that is exactly where I want to dive into. Is that going to be segment 4?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's segment 5.
Oh, my God. No. I want to talk about these food pairings because I'm curious to hear your take on,
because
food is another big thing that you're into.
Yes.
And I want to make sure that we cover that for our audience when we come back.
Yes.
Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everybody. This is segment 4 of The Design Coach. I know. We wish we had more time, Glenn, but we're talking all things wine with Glenn Garlish.
And food now. We're going to talk food now.
So listen, let's end this with the pairings, because I feel like this is very important, right? Like,
it is.
Yeah. It is, because they're designed to go together.
And unfortunately, they're not usually done that way.
Right.
Most people just like... And here was my biggest down moment was when I worked in a Chicago restaurant. These guys were having a great bottle of wine, 4 younger guys, you know. And then the steaks came out. And I'm like, okay, are we going for the same or we want to go to a bigger wine? They said, let's just have 4 Budweisers. Like, what? Why didn't you have the Buds and then have the wine now? That I don't get it.
Because boys are dumb.
Yeah, they are.
Sorry.
Yeah. And but even, you know, I'm sorry. We're Americans. We're Midwest. We just, we don't know. Like
steak
when I lived
beer.
In Seattle, like you really could pair, you could have a Sauvignon Blanc, a Chenin Blanc, a Semillon. Like in Chicago, it'd be a Semillon. What is that? But that people knew it, and you had it with the oysters. Like I literally stood in the water that was full of oysters, had my license, shellfish license, and I shucked oysters, and I put the oyster back and then followed it up with a Semillon. That's what I'm talking about, is elevating to another experience. Mm-hmm. So how do we do that here?
Now, how do we do
that? Okay, a lot of us are meat eaters, right? We like meat. I went to Daniel's Century Market.
Yeah.
What's that, Wadworth?
Walworth.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Walworth. I'm a Chicago guy. Yeah. Walworth. And they have a ribeye steak there that's USDA prime. Okay, not choice. Prime. Usually you can only get that in a fine steakhouse. Less than 2% of all beef is prime.
Right.
Well, they have USDA prime at a very reasonable price, and these are thick steaks. I got one steak. It was 2 pounds.
Wow.
I won't go into my whole cooking method that I told you about earlier, but I cooked that steak to perfection, medium rare, medium-ish, and you pair it up with a Schaefer Relentless Syrah. Okay, that's my recommendation if you want to go big. That bottle's about $99. It's not cheap.
Okay.
But Schaefer is a Chicago guy that went out to California in the late 70s.
Okay.
He got in at the right time. And this Relentless Syrah, it's called. You have that steak, chew it, enjoy it, and then follow it up with a sip of that Syrah. You've elevated your experience. Like, the wine is better than it just came out of the bottle. The steak is better than when it came off the grill. Everything tastes even that much better.
Give me a fish pairing.
A fish pairing? Do we want to go like salmon, or are you a white fish? What do you think? The best is an Oregon Pinot Noir. There's one called, I love my Domaine Serene.
Okay.
Incredible family winery. And you have to get the king salmon. You got to look hard for it. Everybody wants to sell you these real thin cuts of sockeye salmon. I want Alaskan wild king salmon. It's very thick, like a steak.
Okay.
And you cook it like a steak, like medium rare. And you have it with a Domaine Serene Pinot Noir. That's royalty experience right there. You could do that yourself.
That's so great.
Yes. Amazing. How's that?
Yeah, pasta.
What else you want?
Give me pasta.
Pasta, then,
I'm in an Italian mood.
I know.
What do you got?
I know.
What do you got?
But it's going to depend on the pasta and what's in it, because it could be with seafood, it could be with chicken.
I'm trying to get for your
Philip
favorites.
Then I love my Sangiovese. Okay. You know, that's a grape variety, and, you know, spend $40, $50 on an Italian Sangiovese and have it with your Italian wine, with your Italian dish, and that's an amazing. But that's how it all comes about, right? You grow up in those regions, and those wines were made for that kind of food, for that spice, for that acidic component that the red sauces contribute.
Now, your love of food and your love of wine being like equal. I mean, I would say it's equal, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
And you're this big believer in pairing it together. When you, how much effort does it take? I mean, I guess I want you to demystify that. Like, people hear this, right?
And they're
like,
oh,
sounds like it's a lot of work. I mean, inherently, when it comes to sort of elevating our lifestyle, we're inherently lazy. Let's be really honest. Like, we are inherently lazy, okay? And that's the one thing with the design coach we're trying to break. Like, you're not going to get the elevated experience, and you're not going to get the appreciation if you don't put in the effort.
Right.
Right.
Period. End of story. It's really no more complicated than that. Either you're putting in the effort or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, then you can't really sit back and complain about not having the life you want to live.
Right.
And so what's interesting is I want you to demystify a little bit for us the process. Obviously, where do you go buy these wines? Like, where can you buy these wines where it's easy? Right? Like, give me the easy access to both the food and the wine. Give me that.
Just a shameless plug first.
Yep. Sure.
I don't know if you guys know Beth at the Bottle Shop.
Yes.
Here in Lake Geneva. If you go in and ask her any question about finding something or whatever, and she will get it.
That's the way to go. Is
it
the
is.
Personal,
the
local.
Person. Right.
Right. Yeah. And somebody that's not in a big store like Chicago, we have some big box stores
right.
that just sell wine and spirits. And they want to help you too, but, you know, they're a little more like sales ended where.
Right. They're going to show you in their aisle where you can find what you're hopefully trying to find.
Right.
Beth or somebody like her is going to go to her distributors and go to her and make the phone calls and do the research to help you find exactly what you're looking for. Especially
and if
you go in there with a name.
We want comfort level. And I always say to people, don't stress about like if you like a certain wine, well, I only have red with, you know, meat and only have white with. If you like that kind of wine, a lot of times they'll go fine together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a Chardonnay, you can have it with a steak, pasta. It's fine if you're a white wine drinker. That's okay to do. So that's the way I feel.
Where's your best place to get food?
But here, okay, so coming back to that, again, it just comes back to what we were talking about earlier. It's just talking to people, right? When I walk into a Daniel's and I see the meat guy, I start talking to him. Hey, you got, this is prime. Where do you get the meat from? Is it from the Midwest? Where's it come? And then I see the seafood guy, walked over to him. So you got some nice looking tuna. Where's it from? Because it didn't have, sometimes they'll have the name. Oh, I got to check. Okay, thank you. Comes back, Philippines, Vietnam. No, I don't want warm water tuna.
Right.
No, thank you.
Right.
I'm a cold water guy. I want cold water. I want Hawaiian tuna. I want Washington State or Alaska salmon. So again, it's because of my travels and just talking to people. Like I was with my kids down in Guatemala and Belize, and I saw a seafood place, and there was these very Afro-Caribbean guys, and I went up to them like, hey, man, I'm a chef. Like, I cook. I do beers, wines, all that. Like, what do you guys got in there? And they, you know, they just shared where they caught the fish, and then I could kind of figure out what's going to go well with it. So it's just talking to people. You know, and have an appreciation.
But amazing how the communication is the gateway there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, think about that for a minute. Like, we come on this radio show every week or almost every week, right?
And we, we try.
And we try. and we get on the air and we're just trying to communicate and open doors through communication.
Sure.
That's all he's talking about. Mm-hmm. All he's talking about, Glenn, is
ask questions.
You're opening doors through communication and because you're being intellectually curious enough to try to find out where something's from, how did you find it, how is it being brought to you? What does it pair with? Because you're intellectually curious. I will tell you, what is killing your lifestyle right now, everybody on the air, is your lack of intellectual curiosity.
Right.
You don't care enough to ask the next follow-up question.
And it's easy.
And you don't even do it in your own lives with your friends.
Right.
Like, some friend will share something with you, and then you'll go one question deep, and then you'll turn the conversation right back to your own stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Because right now, what's interesting is when we say to you, when we come on this air, if you open your mind, you have to open up your communication. You have to ask questions. You have to be intellectually curious or you won't really learn. You can't just learn through absorbing. I think that's the one thing. Had you gone to these countries and just walked around and didn't interact with anybody?
Right. No, I.
You would know nothing.
Be worse for the
world.
You're
a tourist.
Right.
Right.
That's just walking through the experience instead of really trying to
have
absorb
the experience.
I usually apologize to my family right away because I'm going to like try to go into the kitchen.
Right.
or I'm going to, you know, walk where I shouldn't be going.
That's so funny.
Oh, you're so that guy. Yeah. You're so that guy.
Listen, I understand that because when we go places and we have the opportunity to meet artists or whatever, I'm all for that. But I want to talk to the guys in the back who put up that stuff and take it down and truck it into another city and put it right back up. Right. All of those guys in the back. I want to know how you do it.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm totally interested in the final product.
Right? The music is the end product. So
exactly.
And the meal or the wine is the end product.
Exactly.
You're trying to get at the root.
Yep. Right.
The base, you know,
I totally get that.
What is the foundation of the experience? And it's like, you know, when you start to talk about your experience with wine or food and ours on design or even yours in radio with music, Nancy, any art form that involves a collaborative or a process that leads to some sort of outcome that is special has an interesting story. We don't have time. We just want the end product. We want the end result. We just want to pick up the wine. We just want it to be easy. We don't want to have to work.
Right.
But in the work is the understanding and is the appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really underlying all of this is, you know, Glenn, there's no way we walk away without at least some sort of understanding, a better understanding of the fact that you've got to get in it.
Yeah.
If you really want to experience it. What would be your, give us one angle that maybe about wine and about food that is maybe where people overcomplicate it. Just be like, this is an industry myth, either about sommeliers or wine cellars or whatever it is, where you're just going to like blow the lid off.
Well,
and you can be like, you know what? This isn't where we ought to be.
So we have a couple minutes left, and I have a very quick question after this one as well.
Okay.
So go.
Well, I'm going to, here's.
Like what? Like, because I know you get annoyed like I do. Okay, when you see just the veneer of the cosmetic in my industry, I get annoyed by trends. Trends are, you know how I feel about trends.
Annoying.
Trends, the Coca-Colas of wine.
Right. So when
which
you see
is
that, what drives you bananas? Like, what is your biggest pet peeve?
Well, I'll mention the wine that I said earlier, the M1, Meiomi.
Okay.
That pretty much drives me crazy. Or when it's people that have a lot of money and they have wines that they bought in like the little grocery store. Like they, you know, these you see everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Apothic is one. That one drives me crazy. So I shouldn't say these wines, but I don't like them.
You could say that.
They're just not good.
Listen, everybody knows how I feel about Restoration Hardware. That's not a shock. Everybody knows.
Now, I used to love Camus and Cake Bread, and I've been to these wineries, and I bought them back when they were like really good value. And over time, you know, a lot of these wineries get sold to corporations, and they're selling hundreds of thousands of cases. So I do look at that, like my Woodward Canyon. Is it still run by? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Still run by the
is
family.
Is it still limited release?
Right.
Still, all those things.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really look at that. Now, the one thing I wanted to say, and this is because I grew up with a single mom and sisters who had friends, and I always respect women. And I've worked in restaurants, and this is what I say to the young ladies is try to get confidence in wine. And when you're out with a group, say you're a young executive and there's six guys and maybe you're the only female, point to the waiter, say, bring me the wine list, sir. Yeah, I'll bring it over here.
Right.
Nothing more captivating for, I think, and for men to see a female take control of that
situation.
What
you're saying is that that's sexy.
I wanted to say that, Nancy, but that's what I always say,
Glenn,
but I didn't want to say, and I feel weird.
All you're talking about is empowerment. That's
right.
All you're talking about. And that's,
and it's really cool. Like,
that's very cool.
The server will think, like, this, she's got it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And no, and I'm telling you, if your boss is there, he's going to, like, you know about wine? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we can all guess how you feel about mealy-mouth metrosexual men. Like, we probably can guess where you fall there. Like, I can pretty much say to Nancy's question.
Okay.
Yes, okay.
We have, like, 30 seconds.
Yes, Nancy.
From appetizer to maybe even appetizer, salad, main dish, dessert, your favorite meal paired with what?
Go.
Now you're going to go back to the sommelier classic
yes.
experiences.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So appetizer, as I mentioned, is going to be the oysters with a semillon from Washington State.
Okay.
Are we having a salad? You want to do a salad with
we'll
a little Caesar? Let's do a Caesar salad.
Okay.
And we're going to have a Chardonnay, the Damal Chardonnay from California. Sonoma Coast.
Okay.
It's kind of a little buttery. It's got that oak that people like, and that'll go well with that Caesar dressing.
Sweet. Okay.
Okay. Into entree, I've already told you my number one ribeye steak with the Schaefer. Do I need another one? Or
what's your toppings on your steak? What are you doing with it?
I'm a big peppercorn guy.
Okay.
Maybe we're going to do a little red wine reduction.
Yeah, keep
just
it simple.
To, like, that's the way to go.
Absolutely, with that meat.
Yes,
anyway,
and then
yeah.
for your dessert, you love chocolate, Nancy, so let's have that with the Gergich Zinfandel, as
Got
I
it.
Mentioned. That'll be an amazing pairing.
There you
pairing.
Go, start to finish.
Yep,
start to
finish.
And here's your check. It's $450. Tip is included.
But today on the Design Coach Radio Show, it's free. Anyway, thank you for spending
calories.
Yeah, and no calories. Thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us, everybody. Glenn, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Have a great weekend, everybody. You've been coached.